Returning to Joshua 20, we have endured two chapters at a time. The word tonight is nine verses of one chapter. But it's important that we understand that at this point, after the land has been distributed, the way that the land is to be used is in view. And so there are portions of the land that need to be set apart for a special purpose. That purpose in this chapter is a place of refuge. It's important that we consider this, how the land was to be used. Starting at verse 1, chapter 20. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. But the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give them him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is in Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness, upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. The precious word of the living and the true God. When the land has been finally distributed to all the tribes, the Lord's land is going to have to be governed by the Lord's laws, by his justice. It will be administered according to the law given through Moses. And so, amazingly, we see that the Lord is specifically the one who speaks. He's the one who raises this issue, the Lord. And he speaks to Joshua. He gives special instruction to Joshua, and he's to remind the people of something that is already there in the law of Moses. It's there in a number of places. One of them is Deuteronomy 19, especially in verse 10. But it's in other passages as well. It's in Numbers 35. It's mentioned in Exodus 21. It's there in the law so that the people might live according to this. Now, this is the fulfillment of what was described in the law of Moses. The land is now there, and the land is to be used in this particular way. In verses 1 to 3, we have general instructions, and then the Lord gets more specific in verses 4 to 6. There are cities to be set apart in verses 7 to 8. And then finally, there's a summary in verse 9. And that's what we're looking at tonight. General instructions, specific instructions, cities set apart, and the summary. But we have to understand this passage in light of the history of redemption. So the Lord speaks to Joshua, and he is giving him instructions that are supposed to be carried out. These are actually the last words that the Lord speaks directly in the book of Joshua. And the children of Israel are told that they are to appoint out for themselves cities of refuge. Notice that language. Appoint out for you, cities of refuge. They are to surrender to God according to the law of Moses and to designate these cities. Now the land has been given to them. It's been distributed according to tribes. But they are to carve out a specific area in certain sections of the land and devote that to be a place of refuge. That's what God's people are to do. And so they do that for themselves. Appoint out for use, for their benefit, these cities of refuge. We were told about this in Numbers 35. There are supposed to be cities on each side of the Jordan. There's supposed to be three on each side. As we go on to verses 7 and 8, we'll find out that there was one in the north, one in the middle, and one in the south, on both the east and west sides of the Jordan. That is so you can get to that city as quickly as possible. Centrally located. Located in different sections of the land so that God's people might have a place to go to as a city of refuge. Why? It's because of the slayer mentioned in verse 3. It's because of the avenger of blood mentioned in verse 3 after someone slays someone. Now, you and I both know that the word kill is a word that applies to someone who does it accidentally and unintentionally, as well as someone who does it with malice and forethought. But those are two different situations according to the justice of God. God is seeing them differently, and he's actually calling upon the people of God to govern differently according to the different motives of men's hearts. See, what matters is not only the fact that someone died, but how someone did it. What was going on in them? And he says specifically that someone who kills someone unawares and unwittingly may flee to these places. This is covered for us in Deuteronomy 19, as we have this example in verses 5 and 6 of someone who is cutting with an axe and the head of the axe flies off and hits someone. They didn't intend to kill them, but the person dies. Someone is appointed to be the one who is the representative of that family in order to go and seek vengeance on that person. They are appointed to do that. It is actually their duty to accomplish that. So you can see the kind of trouble that someone might be in if they accidentally killed someone. We're specifically told unawares and unwittingly. It wasn't something that you premeditated. It wasn't something that you planned on. I'm someday going to murder that person. No, this is something that happened as a result of an accident, something that happened as a result of something perhaps that was careless. It has to be evaluated in the city of refuge. But God's justice provides for this person to flee, to go to that place. Last night, our dog was caught in his first hailstorm. He's seen thunderstorms before. He's seen rain before. He's had lots of rain fall on him. Doesn't seem to faze him. He saw the lightning. He heard the thunder. It didn't seem to faze him. But at one point, he ducks under a pine tree, and these little small hail pellets start falling down. I didn't notice them at first, but they were falling on him. And I could see them against his fur. Then they became bigger. They were as big as marbles. And he wanted to get away from that tree and go hide alongside the property of the person whose house was there. I couldn't let him do that. So we continued to wait, getting cold and wet, and the hail is falling down. But he wanted a place of refuge. So we walk a little further down the street, and he goes into a little alcove where there's an apartment door, and he gets up in there and he is hiding. This is the experience of the person who has slain someone unawares and unwittingly. They are seeking to flee because they know that someone has been appointed to go after them. Someone has been appointed as the avenger of blood. God has provided a way for the pattern of retaliation that characterized Lamech in Genesis chapter 4 to be stopped. God is providing through the law of Moses for justice to begin to be administered according to the actual motives of people and their actions. When someone does something accidentally and unawares and someone dies, it's not the same situation as someone who murders with malice and forethought. And God's word is making those discriminating provisions. He's done so before in passages, like I mentioned, Numbers 35 and Exodus 21 and others. But the point that you need to understand is that God is now providing for this to happen in the land. Verse 4 says, "And when he doth flee into one of the cities, he shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city." This is a safeguard against someone who wants to lie, who actually did murder someone, but they want to claim that it was unawares. It has to be presented to the elders at the gate. It has to be presented in the city of refuge. The case has to be presented, and it has to be heard. This is the way of beginning to examine the motives of people's hearts by means of God's provision for them. And he declares his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, and they take him into the city and give him a place that he may dwell among them. The avenger of blood comes. The storm is upon the gates of the city, and this person is hiding. The avenger of blood is pursuing, but they are not allowed to deliver up that person who killed someone to the avenger of blood. Why? Because they did it unawares and unwittingly. And they're willing to state their case to the elders. And they're willing to submit to the ruling of the elders. Because if they determine that they did not do it unawares, they are told to leave the city. And then they are exposed to the avenger of blood. They take the avenger of blood is pursuing, verse 5, "They shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time." This is the situation where the axe handle separates from the axe, and the head of the axe flies into someone and they accidentally die. It's a very serious thing. It's going to have consequences in the slayer's life, but not the consequence of his death. He has to move to this city. He has to be in this place. He has to remain in this place. He's protected there, but it's also, in a sense, house arrest. It's a place where he has to stay. He will remain because God's image is in man, and someone has been killed. And the consequence is that slayer, even though he did it accidentally, will remain in that city of refuge until the high priest dies. He can't just go there, state his case, get a free pass, and go home. You see how God's justice works. It's discriminating, but it's extremely serious about the matter of taking the life. This person needs refuge so that we don't add to the process of retaliation and vengeance and continue like Lamech did in Genesis chapter 4. But it has to be stopped in a way that shows the grave consequences of someone's life being taken. You didn't hate this person ahead of time. It was an accident. But you're going to have to stay here in this city of refuge, separated from your family, because a life was taken. You see how God's justice works. It demonstrates the importance, the incredible value of human life, but also the slayer, the one who did it accidentally. He's allowed to live. It's called the city of refuge. Verse 6 says he will dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment and until the death of the high priest shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Why the death of the high priest? Because you know that one day God is going to provide one that that high priest always pointed to. And the death of that one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to atone for the sins of God's people. Going to atone for the sins of all who trusted in him. And his sacrifice will be perfect. But until then, we have this pattern of high priest serving and God's people receiving the benefit of their service, but then they die. The book of Hebrews talks about this again and again and again. We needed one high priest who would provide for us refuge and who would provide for us forever. But this is the time of temporary high priests. This is the time of temporary provision for safety for those who kill someone, a city of refuge. And this is how God's land works. This is how the promised land works, differently than among the nations. God's people are to be set apart. They are to separate between those who murder with malice, who thought about it ahead of time, who plan it out, who want someone to die and kill them purposely, and those who don't. They accidentally kill someone and who experience the consequences of being separated from their tribe, living in this place until the high priest dies. So they have these places, as I mentioned, in verses 7 to 8, verses that describe areas in the north and the middle and the south on both sides of the Jordan. And that's important because they all need to be accessible. You need to find a place where you can find refuge. But if you can't get there, there's no refuge. It has to be near enough that you can get to it. And they're told specifically in Deuteronomy 19 that they're to build roads. You're to build roads so that you can get to the place, the city of refuge. That's the way God's land works. That's the way his justice works. That's the way he provides for sinners in a fallen world where people kill people, even accidentally. It's a serious thing. But it's not the same thing as murder that you thought about, that you did intentionally. God's law discriminates between the two. You see, even in the Old Covenant, the people of God were finding a way to follow God's law in order to evaluate motives. And we know that only God knows our motives. We know that only he knows our hearts. We know that only he is the one who is able to provide for us. Amazingly enough, this language of this avenger of blood is the language of someone who is avenging for their kinsmen. As we move on in the history of redemption, we find this kinsman redeemer, like Boaz was, a picture of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who became our own flesh and blood in order to redeem us. Did you know that God is able to redeem us from the most serious actions against people made in his image through Christ? And this is what God was pointing to, his pattern of providing exactly what is needed according to the measure of someone's sin in the Old Covenant so that we might see Jesus Christ more clearly. The presence of the high priest is important. The presence of protection, listening to the case, making sure that someone has the ability to get there by means of the roads. And God has provided for us today in the Lord Jesus Christ a place of refuge, a place where we can turn. At the end of this chapter, we find this summary. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Did you notice something when you read that verse? Who is included? The stranger that sojourns among them. People like Rahab. People who are grafted in to the people of God. Already in the Old Covenant, we're being given a picture of something that would be realized in the Lord Jesus Christ in magnificent ways as we are grafted in to the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Ephesians says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." You know what your refuge did? You know what your place of refuge did for you? The one who took the place of that high priest? The one who took the place of people who were so sinful as to be murderers in the eyes of God? People who took someone else's life. Jesus says it happens by anger. You know how your great refuge provided for you the kind of safety that you need? By his own blood. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14 says, "He is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, continued in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." The work of the Lord Jesus Christ is designed to bring those who are far off, those who are strangers, into a place of safety. The Bible describes how we, those who are naturally oriented against God, in Ephesians chapter 2, by nature, children of wrath. Those who were not given the rights of a place of refuge in which to flee. Imagine that. Everybody in the land that's part of the children of God is able to flee to a place of refuge when they kill someone accidentally or unawares. Except you. Because you are a stranger. You are not part of us. You have no place to run to. You have to wait until the avenger of blood gets you. But you see, God's justice never worked that way. It was always designed to spill over in mercy to the stranger. It was always designed to bring in and to receive. And even these cities of refuge become a place of welcome and protection for those who were accidental killers. Eventually, you know how it works. In the history of redemption, we have one great high priest who began to do something that none of the other high priests could do before him. The Lord Jesus Christ. In the area of the tabernacle where the high priest went, Hebrews 9:7 says he had to go with blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. But then we find out that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he entered into the holy places, he entered into the holy places with his own self, sacrificing himself in order to provide for us a place of refuge. The only safe place for you, the only safe place where you can go, where you can be protected from the wrath of God, is in Jesus Christ. I didn't have to explain that to my dog. I couldn't explain it to him if I tried. it wasn't for him. What my dog experienced was a protection of having his master sit with him and wait for the storm to pass and tell him that he was a good dog for finding a place of shelter from the hail and from the thunderstorm. But you see, you're made in the image of God. You have a much higher privilege. You're able to understand that there's a place of refuge for you. You're able to understand that this refuge is provided for you because you need it. You're able to understand that apart from the work of Jesus Christ, you have blood on your hands. And you need to be protected. You need to be one who is understood in terms of your motives. And you need your motives to be cleansed. You need Psalm 19 to be applied to your life because you are not an animal. You are a human being made in the image of God. And you have no right, out of anger or malice or hatred, to take another's life. And Jesus says we do that even when we're angry. You see, we need a place of refuge. We can see something that our canine friends can't. We can see that we need Christ. We can see that He is the only safe place. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, the Bible is very clear. If you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what the Bible says to you in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Place of protection. The blood of Jesus Christ being applied to you. The great high priest in the sanctuary of God offering up himself on your behalf. Run. Flee to that place of refuge. If my dog can understand that he needs to get out of the way of something strange that's flying from the sky, some ice that's hitting him, that he doesn't understand, you can understand that you need to run to Christ because you have been made for this. This is how you understand who you really are. You are one who needs to run to a place of safety. You are one who needs the Lord Jesus Christ to cover your sins. You are one who needs to be assured that there is no condemnation before God, that the wrath of God is taken away, the storm is past, because Jesus Christ stood there, hovered over you, and accepted the wrath of God on your behalf. It's as if I could stand over my dog and I could take every bit of hail away in every part of his body, and he would never experience it. I couldn't do that for him. Christ did that for you. There is a place of refuge tonight. Run to it. Run to him. And receive a clear conscience. Receive protection. Receive the knowledge that you don't need to tremble before God's wrath anymore. You can experience his love. Accept the examination of your motives and the purifying of your heart, because that's what Psalm 19 tells us, that we are to seek our Redeemer's purification. There's a place of refuge tonight, but this refuge is deep. It's deep for your soul, that you might understand from the depths of your being what it is like to be set free from anger and murder and bloodshed from the heart. You have been set free.